When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If These Ovaries Could Talk, episode 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jamie.
I am.
And I am a lesbian, if you didn't gather that already.
And it's like a drinking game. Lesbian. Drink.
A lesbian and a mother of 1.5. I have 1 on the way. And the wife of a beautiful, amazing woman. She's going to love that I just said that.
Maybe she'll do the dishes now.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
I'm Robin, and I'm a lesbian, also mom of 2, 8 and a 6-year-old.
And so our last episode, we talked with my wife, Anne, and this episode, we have the treat, we have the amazing pleasure of getting to talk to Robin's wife, Mary. So we're going to hear their story. Let's go ahead and bring Mary in and get going with what you guys have to tell us.
It's no pressure.
No pressure at all. It's going to be fun. All right.
Oh, my God.
So we have Mary here. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
It's nice to see you. We're so excited to have you here.
Me too.
You guys are going to tell your story. We're going to hear Robin and Mary's fertility story, which is full of exciting and fun things. Mary, I'm very excited.
All right, I'll start.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah, well, why don't you guys give us the elevator pitch of your relationship?
Elevator pitch of our relationship. We forgot that.
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
My elevator pitch in a nutshell. In a nutshell is Robin is Miranda Hobbs and I am Steve. For all of you Sex and the City watchers out there, I dress about as well as he does.
We're super great dressers.
You guys are, well, we're lesbians. I mean, we're not expected to be great dressers.
That great? I love low expectations.
That's why I joined. So, but
and the toaster.
That would be my 30 words on who we are.
Okay, that's fun.
All right, so my elevator pitch of us is, should we break up, all of my friends would take Mary and not me.
I feel that way about me and Anne.
Right?
Yes.
It's like everybody loves Mary and they're all like this, you're fine.
I mean, I don't agree. You're a little bossy. I don't agree with that. I think you guys are both great on your own. It would be a tough choice.
You're not Steve, by the way.
I'm totally Steve.
By the way, but
Steve? Oh, Miranda and Steve,
you never watched
the
Sex
redhead and
the schlubby guy. Mary's whole when we got pregnant, Mary's whole fear was she'd be like the dad in the back, like just holding the diaper bag, going what?
Mary, you are a really good mom.
Am I?
You are.
Oh my God.
I see your things on Facebook that you post about all the activities you do with your children.
Well, I play with them.
She's the fun one.
I mean, it's amazing. You inspire me to play with my child.
I'm like the turdy mom. I'm like the mom who's just like, get over here.
Yeah.
I said, stop this. I said, put that down.
That's me.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, the last thing I want to do is play with her. It's...
I'll do
She's
sports.
Hear this
I'll do
one
sports.
Day.
Yeah, I won't even do that. Yeah, if no, she wants to, like, sing a song, I'm there. Let's sing. But
if she wants to run lines with me, I'm so into it.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's amazing. You take them down to the basement. You guys play
spies. Oh, I love all that. Yes.
By the way, that sounds so creepy. You take them down to the basement.
We live in New York, man.
You got to use all the available space.
There's nowhere else to go.
Exactly. Just to clarify, Mary plays a game called Spies, where the objective is to get from our apartment on the top floor down to the basement without being seen.
That's
where they dress
fun.
Up
with
it's like a
Nerf
whole thing.
Guns and walkie talkies, and
that is so
all
fun.
Of that. So like we're hiding from our neighbors, and then Robin
really
is headquarters, and then we
I
have
stay
to like
in the apartment on the computer. I'm
of course
headquarters.
You do.
We have to report how many times we were spotted or how many people we saw that didn't see us.
We have to come over and join this game.
Well, my kids are so bored by this now, and I still love it. I'm like, you guys, come on! They're like,
So there you go. Mary, you're a good mom.
I feel like your daughter Rose and Henry are very, very similar. And we need to get them together more so they can like throw things at people.
Right.
In a padded area.
Yeah. Yeah, they do need a padded area. I agree. I think they're very much alike.
They are.
Oh, children.
Right. Oh, deep breath. All right, let's tell our story how we got these children.
I'm excited to. I know some of it, and it's fun. Okay. So let us know.
Well, I want to say that having kids was something that I never, ever thought I would do.
Really?
It wasn't done when I'm basically 72 years old. And it was not done. Like, the only lesbians that had kids were lesbians that were married and had kids with their husbands, and then they left them for their girlfriend.
Right, gotcha.
But, like, lesbians that just were lesbians did not have kids, okay. Except for, like, maybe three.
Uh-huh. Well, it was trending, like, when we were...
It's relatively new even now.
And I never thought I would be a mom. I knew I was gay when I was 4 years old. I never thought I would be a mom. I never wanted to.
That's another podcast. Yeah,
another day, maybe. So like, I go out with Robin, and like on the second date, she's like, so do you want to have kids? And I was like,
The second date.
Well, no, but by the way, just in defense of moi, I was just saying, as in like, does one want to have children? I didn't mean like with me. I was just gonna like, do you want? And she was just like, and she immediately was like, well, I'm too old. I don't know that I can have them. I was like, no, but I didn't ask that. I asked you, do you want kids? And she was like, I can't have them. You
know, I was just talk to my gynecologist first.
Which, by the way, she did. She then went to an appointment. She came home and she was like, hey, so the doctor said if I wanted kids, I could have them.
That's
and
amazing.
I was like, hey, P.S., you still didn't answer the question.
That's like, I mean, it's me
that's
and Anne.
That's our relationship.
Actually, I asked Anne our first night together.
Yeah.
That question, which is interesting, and she had a similar answer that you did.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I mean, I always wanted kids, so I just assumed, you know.
And how old were you guys when you met?
When we met, I was like 40.
I was 33.
I was 42 when we got together. Like, I had just turned 42 when we got together.
Like I said, we're really good at being vague.
I know. All right, so, okay, well, so we had to decide who... It was like basically like if Mary wanted to have the babies because of her age. And so we met with the doctor.
Yeah, I only wanted to have them, to be clear, because I was afraid of being left out of the process.
I
totally would be
can
her
relate
having
to
the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to be, you know, the one following it behind with the diaper bag.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we weren't married. We still aren't.
You guys aren't
married?
We're
domestic partners.
I mean, we were totally going to do that
someday.
You
guys going to get married?
We get a lot of money back in our taxes. Shh.
I mean,
I'm my father. It's fine. All right. So
right.
So we did. I started the research because I'm like, you know.
Yeah, as I know now.
I can't stop myself. I'm admin. And like my middle name is admin. So I started the process, found a doctor, found a big fertility clinic that was like took our insurance, and I was like, all right, let's move this along. I did all the research. I'm like, all right, we could do IVF, and we'll take my egg and Mary will carry. And like we had this whole narrative. We were like, it's amazing. It'll be like the blueprint for me, but the bones will actually be made of Mary. We were like, this is the genius of science, of the ability to, this is the closest two lesbians can come to having a baby together.
And it's amazing. And I know people who actually have done that, who did that.
Yeah, we do too.
So we start the process. We go into the doctor, is this like sort of schlubby Middle Eastern sort of dude. Russian-esque, something Russian-esque.
You're talking about the money guy?
No.
The money guy.
The doctor.
Oh.
And he starts like lecturing us on all the ways you can make a baby. And we were just like, move it along. We know what we want to do. We want my egg, her hopper. Let's do this.
And how long like, had you guys been together at this point?
About 5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Something like that. So
that was just for my context.
Three.
I don't know if anybody else at home cares.
So for you at home, I'm 48 at this time.
So then they talk about money, and we're like, okay, we're going to be able to get, you know, the interesting thing is if you have insurance coverage, they were like, you have great insurance. It's going to cover the meds up to 10 grand, and it's going to cover, you know, I think that IVF up to 10 grand or something like that.
Wow.
And then all of the other tests they put in as gynecological.
Right.
So that's covered 100%. So we were like, great.
That's amazing.
You know, so we're like jazzed. We had to do...
I had to do a lot of testing, like for gestational diabetes, whatever. All this stuff I had to do.
I had to do psychological testing.
Yeah.
Because I had to do this whole test about like how crazy I am, which mm-hmm. I passed. Because she said that the FDA regulation started and it was as if I was giving her my kidney.
Right. Because
they're taking a piece of me and putting it in her. And so I had to be not insane.
Right.
So we did that.
And I was taking the progesterone or whatever.
No, we didn't start it.
No, I was doing all that. I was doing all that.
So you were doing injections?
We got up to the part where we were doing the injections. Uh-huh. And it was like the night before.
And then I would have to start it. And
were ordering.
Would we have like 20 prescription forms laid out on the table? And we're both sitting there, you know, with a cocktail, and we're looking at it.
You were like ready with the cocktail. Yeah. That's my favorite part of this whole story. And we were there.
Yeah, we're there. We're getting ready to do it. We have the phone. We're going to call in the prescription. And like, I think it was Mary.
I came in to you and I said, this is crazy. Why are we doing it this way?
Because by the way, financially, they were like, the guy hands us this piece of paper and he's like, it could cost this or this. And it was like $6,000 or $26,000. And we were doing the math of like her age, you have a 40% chance of it taking. Mm-hmm. And then there's 40%. It was like 40% of 40%.
Yeah.
And we were like, we have an easier way. Like we have a younger hopper. Like, why are we
and
doing
you're gonna
this?
You're going to use your egg anyway.
Yeah. So it was just to keep me in the picture.
Right. Which I totally understand that fear because I went through it because Anne gave birth to our first child.
That's right.
So I totally get that. That's a valid fear that needs to be talked about.
For me until the baby was born.
It took me a year after the baby was born to really feel like, okay, no, I am mom.
Yeah.
And it's not going to
really?
Be.
Really?
It was a big fear for the first year. We had a couple arguments about me telling her, you need to include me more. I mean, I was just being neurotic.
Well, Mary was, we were very afraid of that. Both, I told her I wasn't afraid of that, but I was really afraid of that because she was so...
It all comes out.
She's just finding out now.
Dun, dun, dun. But I was a little afraid. But when I had the baby, literally, I was just sitting there because they like whisked the baby away because like, you know, the cord was tied and it was around her neck. So they like took the baby over here and I'm sitting there and Mary's just sobbing and running around with two different cameras taking pictures.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I was just like sitting there like, and all I felt was this. Had just happened out my vagina. And I was just like, I just had a baby. And I was like just sitting there and like she was just sobbing and running around taking pictures.
I was not in it until that minute though.
But you connected right away.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because the baby looked like her, I think. That was like, you know.
My baby looked like my mother-in-law. It was like the spitting image. That's the first thought I had. I mean, yeah, I love her.
Careful.
I love her. I do. I love her. But it was a little bit like, oh my gosh, that's my mother-in-law. She doesn't, you know, I mean, she still looks like her. But anyway, back to you guys.
Anyway, so that was her.
So we cancel. We cancel the
So before
things.
This, you had already bought your sperm at this point.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We forgot all that part.
Oh, yeah. We had that was like, by the way, so buying the sperm, I had binders. They were color-coded tabs. Like, I had a whole thing. And we were just so invested. Like, and I think I said this in the last episode. Like, at one point, we were like, ooh, eczema. And we were just like, we were cutting people out left and right. And you know, we relied so heavily on the staff impressions.
So did we.
Like, because if they were like, really great personality, we were like, that one's ugly. Yeah. You know?
And I was always looking for funny. Like, I was like somebody I was going to date. I was like, he's got to be funny.
We started off looking for someone we would date.
Right.
And then we eventually were like, it should just come down to the medical. Mm-hmm. But, so I'll say this. So we had gotten one, well, this is probably like getting ahead of ourselves, but we had gotten one donor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we shifted from Mary to me, we went to unmedicated IUIs. So for our listeners who aren't familiar with what that is, it's basically they just stick it in there.
It's turkey baster.
No Clomid.
But a doctor does it.
Yeah.
It was like, by the way, the first time we did it, do you remember? Mary's like holding my hand and tears. And he was like, oh, you work at MTV? I know a producer over there. Her name is like Sally. She works on the show. Do you know her? And then he squirts the sperm in and then he leaves the room. And Mary turns to me and she goes, that was so romantic.
It's never romantic.
It really isn't.
It is it not really isn't. Romantic.
So much. And then they leave you in that room and you're not sure how long you're supposed to sit.
Yeah.
I was like, should my legs be up in the air? Like, what am I?
Well, you got pregnant right away, didn't you?
I did the first time.
So, wait. So we got to take it back, though.
Sorry.
So you got your sperm from a big bank.
From a big bank.
You were able to narrow
it down. We did open donor.
You did an open donor. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Which is, that means that that your child can contact the donor when they turn 18 or send an email. Who knows what will happen. And then at first you were going to do the IVF and Mary was going to carry. Now you guys decided, no, let's change that up. So what happened?
So then Robin did it, and we went.
I mean, we kind of like, I bullied Mary a little bit. I'm not just admin, but I'm also bossy. And she was like, well, can we just have like a month to like sit with this? And I was like, I'm ready in 4 days. I was like, what do we think about this?
What's going to be different in a month?
I know. I'm sorry. I suck.
And you did this without any drugs anyway.
Yeah.
So all you had to do is wait until your fertile days.
And yeah. So we went in there. He stuck it in there. I got pregnant right away.
The first try?
First try.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But then they called me when I got pregnant, and they said, you know, listen, some of the numbers, like, you know, we want you to start doing this. It was a progesterone.
Something. Yeah. They're supposed to, like, be doubling every day and going up higher and higher.
Yeah, they wanted me to do the progesterone, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think, stick it in kind of thing.
And suppository.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And I was like, okay, are we worried? She's like, no, we just, you know, it's fine. And then I started spotting. So this was around like week 6. We called and the nurse was like, don't worry about it. She was like, you know, don't worry about it. And then she called me back. And by the way, that morning we heard the heartbeat.
Oh.
And we were sobbing like babies, like just like crying. And we heard the heartbeat. And she called me back like 15 minutes later. And said, the doctor said, you're going to miscarry, probably.
How do they know that?
Because my numbers weren't going up.
So much information from them. And it was like, if we hadn't even known, like we wouldn't have even known she was pregnant, probably. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was like we were getting daily, every hourly number things.
Because if you go to a big fertility clinic, like as soon as you get pregnant, they're bringing you in like, I want to say like every 2 or 3 days for testing. Wasn't that right?
They're constantly
drawing blood and just checking your numbers. And because again, this is what we speak about regularly, is they're used to dealing with people who have fertility issues versus people who just don't have a penis.
Right.
So,
and it's a business. It's like a big business for them to get as many people pregnant as possible.
At one point I read also that they have to report their numbers of success rates and that, you know, their reputation for how many people come to them is on those numbers. So they want to, you know, make sure they're doing everything to support it. So, I'm standing in the office of my very important, like the president of a network in his office, and I'm sobbing because she tells me I'm going to miscarry. And so I called Mary. I'm crying, and my boss is like pacing in the hallway. He has meetings, but he left me in his office because he's a sweet guy. And Mary came running. She was like lesbian Superman from her office. She was all out of breath and came running in. And we went home, and then it was like a week. I had to wait a week. And then
it was
miscarried.
Like more information like I wish we hadn't known. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It was so just like,
that was a real roller coaster.
But then during this time, was there still hope? Like, were you still thinking, maybe it'll keep?
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. Like, someone gave me at work, gave me a rosary.
Then we went back in and.
Yes. So they said, come back in a week. Because I said, what should we do? And they said, come back in a week.
Yeah.
And we went back and the heartbeat was still there.
And I was like, I wanted to flip the table over. I was so furious because I had been like already gone through this whole thing that it was over.
Yeah. Right. And it's frustrating. And
it was, I don't know why. I was just like, I was filled with rage.
Because it was like
that
you wanted it to be over. It was like at that point, it was just like, and then he said, all right, well, and I said, so, and I was getting sort of excited because I had like, now there was hope. And he said, well, if there is hope, he said, there's still a likelihood that it could have some kind of like chromosome damage. Like you're talking about like Downs or like trisomy, I think was the other one.
Yeah.
And I had an uncle with Downs and he was, you know, an angel, like the nicest guy, but my grandmother was taking care of him until he died at 55. And it's like, that's a real serious weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the next day I had the miscarriage.
Right.
But, so then we tried another 2 times.
How long did you wait before trying again?
Like a month.
You just went right into it.
Yeah. We tried 2 more times and then we ran out of sperm.
Ah.
And
age old story.
Yeah.
That age old lesbian story.
That old chestnut.
Oh, man.
So we ran out of sperm. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. It's the difference between the first time picking out sperm with my color-coded notebook and the second time was just like, that dude. And we were like, are we picking chewies? I don't know. And we just bought it. And then the very first time I got pregnant with the new sperm.
Oh, wow. So you had like two more tries with the old sperm and then new sperm was brought in. You are one fertile lady.
Yeah, so it took four IUIs. All unmedicated total. In total. And I got pregnant two of
those
times.
Two pregnancies.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to use you
and
I was
38. So
that's
I was
amazing.
Very. Yeah. My sister got pregnant for the first time, only time, at 41. Mm. Just got off the pill, got pregnant right away. I think we have some fertile genes.
I think you do too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
German style.
Count your blessings.
Yeah. So that was Maxine. Our first
pregnancy was smooth.
Yeah.
You know, as they go.
Well, she started to get really, like, as soon as she got pregnant, and then she got nauseous for months. And then she became, like, depressed or something.
Pregnancy really does some things to
messes you.
Messes you
up.
It does.
And I was not surprised. I was like already like, oh my God, I didn't even know if I wanted to do this. And now you're in this place. Don't look for me to help.
And I was saying things like, well, this is your turn to be the positive one. I get.
Yes.
And I'm like watching NPR and the world's running out of oil and everything. And I was like, what have we done? What are we doing?
So you're really helpful, Mary. So you had the baby. It was
your
beautiful girl.
And then she was sobbing with joy and happy.
And so that was Maxine.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wonderful. And then you went for your second.
We did.
Yes. We were very cocky after Maxine.
Well, wait. So, okay. So then,
I would be cocky too if I was Robin with those ovaries. Let me tell you.
Well, and just that Maxine was like an angel baby. Like she was like so good.
Actually, Robin wrote a really good article on this topic that I read. Oh. About how you guys thought you were the most amazing mothers because Maxine was such an angel.
She was.
We really did. We were so judgy. We were not just in our head at home. We were like,
you guys follow a schedule, guys.
That's what we do.
Right. You guys at home should check out this article, especially if you have a difficult child.
Yeah.
Like I do.
Are you talking about parenting isn't rewarding? That article.
I think so. It's the one where you guys talk the difference between the two. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are
again.
At the end of the pregnancy, I thought I was going to be like Mother Earth, like all rubbing my belly and all like,
don't we all?
And I was not, I was not, I did not care for it. And I didn't find a lot of people wanted to hear me say that because they wanted to hear these delightful stories. So at the 8th month, we had 4 more vials of sperm. And we sold it back.
Oh, because you weren't going to do it again.
Yes. If it never, at the big banks, as a general rule, if you don't take them ever out of their storage facility, you can sell them back at 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, let's just get the cash back.
Well, but because we were going to have another one because we always wanted to.
Yeah, but we were going to adopt because we were going to be all like lesbian green, you know, recycle. And yes. I went to like one adoption seminar at work and I was like, oof. I was like, this is a lot of money. And and like we're gonna have to wait and what
you're
if
you're gonna have to lie because they
some for some like, of the countries
a lot
didn't
of these countries did
lesbians
not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, why? How do you not love the lesbians? We're lovable.
Two moms, come way on. Better than one, guys.
Come on.
Oh, it's amazing.
So then we were like, all right, we're just, again, it all goes back to like, your hopper works, let's just do it again. And then.
And how many years did you wait? I mean, what's the difference?
We started at 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's when we started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I go to get online to my big bank and I'm gonna order my sperm on the internet like you do, like you're ordering a bathing suit.
You're trying
from
to
J.
find
Crew.
The same sperm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's retired. He's out of the program.
Yep.
And so we were like, fuck. Like what I and of course like that was my fault because I was like, sell it back. I feel like and I come out bad in many of these stories.
this is why I'm all your friends' favorites.
It really is.
Totally
so
taking
much better
Mary.
Than I am. She's so much better than I am. So
I don't think we knew you could get him out of retirement.
We didn't know you could until someone
right,
told us
we
after.
We talked about that in our last episode. Yeah. That you guys didn't know that.
Didn't know. So we, someone had mentioned that on some of the big banks, they have a sibling page and you can log in just to your donor number and you see people who have reported, because it's a self-reporting process, that they have had babies by the same donor. So we went in there and there was... I don't know, like five or six people with email addresses. And we were like, holy crap.
I want to say also that you were kind of freaked out by this whole idea
so
of this.
So freaked
but
out.
But it was only because you wanted something.
Sure, I needed them.
Freaked out about getting to know how many babies there were out there.
Well, no, it was more like I had this idea. It was the same reason I didn't want to use a known donor, that this is our family. That's not my family.
Right.
Those are just people that use the same donor. And this is at the time, if any of the families are listening, I've obviously changed my mind on this. But I just didn't want this weird crossover of like, they're not your siblings. And like, I just felt very weirded out by it. I was just like, this is our family, me mm-hmm. and Mary and this kid.
Right.
But I emailed a couple of them and the first lady was so nice and just like, oh my God, we should get to know them. And this person's here. And we were like, whoa.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. you get somebody who's so into it.
Mm-hmm. So we sent an email to everyone who had contact information asking if anybody had any leftover. And there was a woman in Australia, but we didn't think we could get the sperm from Australia. There was a woman in Seattle.
Long travel time.
Seattle, who had one vial, but she was a single parent by choice and she didn't know that she was ready to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman in Bogota and she, Colombia, and she had one vial and she was happy
also
to.
Also a single mom.
Yeah, happy to give it to us.
Wow.
So, delightful lady. We started conversations with her and talking about how to get the sperm into our country. Through customs.
Because it's like moving a human heart or something through customs.
You need like paperwork and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
just like how it's treated like by the FDA and the government right. and all of that.
And it's also like in like thing. A big, isn't yeah, it? It's in like some a big like, storage.
Like it's like a metal, like looks like a fire hydrant. Yeah. Thing. Yeah. It's like freeze dry. I don't know. I mean, I'm making it up, but it sounds, you could just see it.
Yeah, I can just see it sitting next to you on the plane with its own seatbelt.
Like that was that would have been easier. Ellen and if these walls could talk too.
Oh, it was? How
yes.
funny.
Yes. Her driving home, like singing with the metal thing. Yeah. By the way, at my open desk with like 47 millennials around me, I'm going, no, how do I get the sperm through customs? Like I'm on these phone calls.
Those phone calls, there were many phone calls I had to take to my fertility doctor on the bus, on the crowded New York City bus that were full of like sperm and vagina and
mucus levels.
Yes, oh, all kinds levels. Of stuff. And I'd try to say, I'm on the bus, so I have to talk kind of quietly. Just so bad. But
my boss would be like, anytime I would say eggs or something, he'd be like, oh, stop. I'd be like, Tom, eggs.
Ew.
This is just part of the journey, folks.
All part of the journey. So in the middle of my conversations with this lovely woman, she says, you know, I don't know that whole saying about like Muhammad in the mountain, something religious, I didn't go to church kind of thing. But she said, I feel like instead of, she said, I feel like we're trying to move the mountain to Muhammad. She said, why doesn't Muhammad just come here? And like, mm-hmm. meaning like, why don't you just come to Columbia? She's like, I have a great doctor. And I was just like, huh. And, you know, so I call Mary and I said, we happen to have like a voucher for an airline thing for like $800. Yeah. I said, I'll just have to take a week off. We just have to plan it properly. And I had to buy a flight that was like a whole week because the doctor wanted me there, you know, so he could see before and then whatever.
Yeah, because he has to check you out.
Exactly.
And it has to be around your 2 fertile days.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever it is.
So I priced it out.
Oh, my gosh.
With my free flight, it was like, and getting a hotel, it was the same cost as doing an IUI in the city.
Amazing. Did you guys have to pay for IUI with your insurance?
No.
No. So your insurance was amazing. It was copay.
Yeah. It's like a $30 copay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So I show up in Bogota and like coming through by myself. Mary had to stay back with our daughter. Oh, so I'm like going through customs and the guy's like, are you here for business or pleasure? And I was like, both.
Neither for a baby.
This is the lengths we lesbians go to.
Right.
Right.
Wow. So I get to the thing. I meet the other mom and I meet which would have been one of our daughter's siblings, her son. And her family's like fantastic. She's some driver that's driving me around Colombia. Like I just have, like she introduced me, some coworker of yours, was it Mafe's cousin?
Oh, really? Oh yeah.
So it's all a blur.
Her friend's cousin picked me up took me on something. And I mean, they were like all smoking pot, speaking Spanish. And I was just sitting there like, I'm so uncomfortable. Like it was just like the weirdest week.
It's interesting.
Nobody speaks English there. So I get to the doctor
she has one vial for you.
One vial.
So this is a one shot deal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And wow. So I get to the doctor and the receptionist, like none of them speak English. And I'm trying to say like, IUI, like sperm, egg, like in me.
You guys at home can't see both of them gesturing the finger gesture.
And they finally go get the lady in accounting because she speaks English. And so she's trying to, she's trying to translate for me. Finally, the doctor comes out and he knew why I was there. But I had this amazing week. After the woman who gave us the vial came the day that I did the thing, held my hand. She said, we're going to do this. Afterward, she didn't come into the waiting room. You know, that's a line. feet in the stirrups. You are so sweet.
It's amazing.
She takes me back to her house for some like, there was like, her family was having a party. She's this big family.
It was a soccer match.
Yeah, it was like something. What's that? The big soccer.
World Cup.
Thank you. Goes back, there's a World Cup. And her family is walking around going, sit down, you're having a baby. Like they were just like the most amazing people.
Oh my
goodness. So I went home and then that didn't work, which was like, I think there was a lot of pressure on it.
It was like, what a great story it'll be if this works. It'll be like that great first date, you know, that you have that you're like, it's got to work out.
It is.
Got to keep this story.
Yeah, it's a great story. And it is a lot of pressure, which but is it, not good for making a baby.
No. Yeah. And like the flight, like who knows? But also I had this thing in my head that was like, our kids have to be full siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them to have two different. So if they choose to meet their donor dads or whatever you call them, their donor, we just call them the donor in our family. But if they choose to do that, what if one has a great experience and the other doesn't? Like I had so much weight put on it. And then I was like, I had also had this weight about them not being full siblings. And then Mary and I had this great talk and we were like, you know what? Maxine doesn't have any part of Mary, yet she's so much like her. And there's no part of us that thinks that she's not her mom.
Right.
So, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, and that's like, a really good point. Yeah. And that's something that makes a lot of sense.
So then we were like, well, this is just maybe not how it's meant to be. So we picked another donor, and again, like that.
Interesting.
Because we were just like, but we kept the same traits, like the same height, same hair color, same eye color, same skin tone.
I mean, they look exactly alike.
When we were getting Maxine, like, there was like some Nigerian Scottish guy that I wanted because he was funny.
Right.
And the woman that was like the psychologist at the reproductive center was like, looked at us like we were, that was really odd. And she gave this reason for why you should pick somebody that looks like the other person.
Oh.
Because there is some
I thought she was full of crap, that lady, but she but said there's some connection that they want to be able to see themselves reflected back.
Yes. Oh, interesting.
But I mean, it's like that means that all adopted kids are SOL. Like, I just kind of think that was.
It is a little
bit. Remember,
she
had all that face work done. But I was like, I'm not listening to you,
but
lady.
She was kind of, I mean, but it was like, I was like, well, I mean, you know, that seemed like a better reason than just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that we chose we actually did choose a donor that kind of looked like both of us for that same reason.
You guys kind of look the same. I mean,
we
you're
do
both
look
like
the same.
Blonde,
so,
blue-eyed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so is our daughter.
And so it's, you know, it's very much like that was how our family was meant to be, it feels like. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like.
And I think it's a pretty good family from what I can tell.
Totally.
Like most days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but Henry was tough. He was like,
and the second one was Henry. The second one was a boy.
Yes. Yeah. And he was our wild child.
He nearly killed us.
He really made you guys realize that you're not the most amazing mothers.
Oh no, we took it all back. Because yeah.
we're sorry, everyone.
We really were so high and mighty. We were so about like, well, we're very scheduled people. I follow the books and we take the lead, and you know, it's like Henry came out and he was like, people would be like, he's unbreakable. And we were like, I know. Like, you can't distract him because he wants what he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it.
That's my daughter.
Yeah.
If I hear one more person tell me about their schedule and how, we just got this book. You should read this book. You don't think I read every single book that
you'll
is
read
out
the book.
There? Yeah. You read the book. Yeah. So it's really, you know, kids determine what kind of a mother you're going to be.
They do. That's
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, it's interesting. It's like I think Maxine has a lot of Mary's traits, and even though they're both biologically from me and two different donors, and now we have secret Facebook groups
for
the donors, and so we get to see the pictures of the kids growing, and it's interesting. There's
for the sibling, for the like sibling, the sibling registry
groups. So I definitely came around on the whole.
Yeah, we've met.
Yeah, you guys
we've met
are
many of them.
Yeah, we
on
have
both sides.
Much more. You guys are much more involved with that whole aspect than we are at this point. I think
we will set up the secret Facebook groups because I can't stop myself.
Right. Yeah. I think we will get more involved as time goes.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our story. That's our fertility stories.
I'm so glad you guys shared it.
Well, baby, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
You guys should go out on a date now.
Well, no, we got to pay the sitter. We got to wrap this up.
You got to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. No food.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
All right.
Jamie, episode 2 is in the can.
We did it.
We did. That was fun.
And it was a good story. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird being on the other side of the conversation, being the interviewed versus just being able to, you know, like be snarky about someone else's story.
Yeah, I mean, not snarky. I mean, you know, ask leading questions and things like that.
You're always trying to make me seem like a better person, and I love you for that.
I think you're a really good person. I think
God
your story.
Damn it, I am.
I think your story was really interesting, and I think that it's really amazing to hear everybody's different story and the lengths that we will go to create our families.
Yeah.
And everybody's is so unique and so different, and that's the beauty of this podcast.
Yeah.
I think. But I also feel like I need to mention to all you viewers out there, I have some very heavy breathing going on in the mic. All I hear is my breathing, and I apologize to you for that. I'm very pregnant.
Super pregnant.
So I guess that means my breath is really noisy, which I didn't know until I was in front of a mic. So I apologize.
Hey, Jamie, we knew.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
My breath is heavy, but I keep trying to move my mouth away when I'm not talking.
So in and out, in and out.
So just for you listeners out there, apologize.
So that's it for us for this week. We do want to say to you, don't forget that you can follow us on Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter at Ovaries Talk. And listen. We're creating community, right? Mm-hmm. Tweet us. What should they tweet us?
I think this time around, why don't you guys tweet us? Ask us how we'd like to know how many tries did it take for you to get pregnant?
Interesting. Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
I'd like to know.
And also, anything else you want to share that's not mean or saying Jamie and I suck. Yeah. Don't say that.
Yeah, please don't. I mean, if you do, we'll probably come back at you in our podcast. And
we might.
I don't know if we'll come back at you.
Or will we just, like, cry?
We might. Mm-hmm. We might just cry. But, you know, hopefully you're not going to be
mean. Don't make us cry.
But we'd like to hear what you have to say.
Episode 2 is a wrap.
Thanks a lot.
See you next week, guys.